This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, I've got Joshua Chung, the founder and CEO of Ka Ching. Founded in late 2021 or early 2022, this Malaysian startup wants to help brands connect with their audience by transforming everyday vehicles into mobile billboards, while empowering car owners to earn while they drive, effectively turning KM into RM. Today, we explore Ka Ching's origins, where the company is in their journey, and what the future holds for this Malaysian startup. Joshua, welcome to Open for Business.
Hi, good morning. Morning.
You've also very kindly provided me your investor deck, which I have open here. So I'll refer to it as we go through this conversation. But Joshua, when we wrapping cars is not something we're unfamiliar with, right? In fact, in BFM, if we look back 15 years ago when BFM first started, BFM used taxi advertising in order to get its message across. And today we still have car stickers on cars, right, where we give to listeners. And Grab today is doing it on their cars as well, right? I think now you can see JX Bank advertising a lot of Grab cars today. So using car apps for advertising isn't new. Why have you ventured into this, especially given the fact that this is your first entrepreneurial journey. You were a Bank Negara scholar. You were in the finance industry in asset management. And now you've taken what seems like a left turn into ad tech and car advertising. Talk to us about why this journey.
Yeah, I mean, you rightly pointed out this is something not new. I never believe in being the first person in the industry to make a move. iPads are never new. It's been in the market. Touchscreen phones are never new. It's how you do it. It's the most important thing, how you deliver it. So I believe that we have a lot to offer in Ka Ching. We do see a gap in the current solution today, car apps today. It can be enhanced. The way it's designed, it's not powered by tech. These are the offerings that Ka Ching provides to our drivers and to our brands. And why did I take a left turn? I wouldn't say it's a left turn. Well, let's see in 10 years. But yeah. It's definitely something that I've been asking myself, what do I truly want to do in my career? Spending some time in the finance industry got me thinking that, you know, I don't want to be sitting behind a desk crunching numbers, making the rich richer. I really want to dive deep into the heart of it, you know, do something a little bit more tangible that can impact people's lives. That's why I took that turn.
I can understand that feeling of wanting to do something, but that wanting to do something and going into entrepreneurship is quite a far jump as well, right? Because inherently, entrepreneurship is risky, high rate of failure. In fact, in this business itself, there have been a few players that have come and gone, and we'll get into that later. So given the inherent risks with entering business building entrepreneurship, what has given you the confidence to embark on this journey? Why you and why this?
Definitely not everyone's cup of tea, like what the NVIDIA CEO says as well. Pain and suffering is what you expect from this journey.
Part and parcel.
Part and parcel, yes. But what I got, how do I get this confidence? It's mainly from after leaving the finance industry, I actually jumped into a few of my friends' businesses where I helped them to build their own journeys, their own startups for 3 years. And that's where I really built my confidence. I was in a core team to launch a fintech. I was in few of a brick and mortar businesses in KL. So that's where I learned the ropes.
Right. So yeah. Entering the startup ecosystem might have given you that little bit of that sense of what it takes.
Yeah.
Was this Capsphere, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Right. So you were there, you were part of the team that helped build it, that gave you a taste for the startup ecosystem. And I think once you get that taste, going back to corporate can be a bit difficult. Would you say that?
Yeah, definitely.
The speed of doing things in the startup ecosystem is there. So when you're looking at this, the car wrapping business, advertising, making cars into mobile billboards, what are you banking on here in order to make this successful?
So a lot of the advertising strategies today is backed on data.
Yeah.
And to see how successful it is, you need to have some data to tell you, right? And that is why I think it's a laggard industry before this. It's like another option. Mm-hmm. It's not really a main thing, right? So with our tech, you're able to know even where the cars have gone, how many hours they spend on certain roads, what is the traffic condition. So from here, we'll be able to extrapolate out an impression number, estimated impression numbers that people have seen your ad. So from that, brands are able to track more effectively, Hence, we think that with that kind of technology and that kind of report, more money will be able to flow back to the out-of-home space, especially with cars.
Now, you've been around for about 19, 20 months now. Over 4,000 downloads and over activated over 20 brands, campaigns worth about 1.5 million. So you've generated about 1.5 million ringgit in revenue. So you've gotten validation. You've gotten some kind of product market fit here. But in the early days when you first started in, well, early 2022, when you first launched, how did you test the market before entering, especially given your background in the regulatory space, in the asset management space? It's a lot about analysis and kind of figuring out what to do before you go into it, and even the startup space. So how did you test the market for this before entering it? Did you do anything there?
Yeah. Our product's a bit different from a usual life cycle of a startup, other startups. This is like not new, like you said earlier, right? So in terms of testing, we're not testing a new product per se. It's something that's already there. Mm-hmm. We are adding more value-add services. We are adding more reason to purchase this product. So what we did was we went up to brands that are close to us within our network. As usual, you do free trials, you know, discount rates. Try us out and see what you feel. And we have customers coming back 7-8 times for different campaigns. And that's the test that we did. And that's on the supply side, on the demand side.
Yeah.
On the driver's side, we know that putting wraps on cars is something that we Malaysians might feel like, oh, really? I'm gonna put wraps on my car? Spend so much money on my car already, right? So we know that typical four-door square wraps is not the answer. Mm. We have to design it tastefully. And that's where we remodel our designs based on how F1 does. You know, you don't see Petronas slapping their bottle oil on their F1 cars and say, buy now. We design based on their logo, their aerodynamic design. We wrap it with their green color, turquoise all over it. Make it look cool. Make it look spotty.
Now, you have around just under 3,000 users at this point, I understand. But when you first started, I'm sure you didn't come out straight with an app and a platform that you have today. What did it look like in the start when you had to go and get these deals, right? So your first advertising deal, it was how manual was the process back then, and how has that changed over time?
I was thankful that I had a strong team of early developers with me. Some of them are still with me today. Mm. We managed to develop a really bare skin and bone app.
The MVP.
Super MVP. Nothing fancy, where you can track GPS locations, calculate the kilometers and the impression numbers for our clients. So on the client side, this is a very B2B business. So the clients don't have to interact with an app per se. It's only the user part.
Correct.
So for the drivers, of course, we went through a lot of challenges. App not working. Typical things like, why is this not working? That button cannot press, you know, all these kind of things. So it was a challenge at the start for the MVP. It took us about 6 months to refine it after launch. So managed to get it going today for a decent version.
How much work went into the business before the launch, right? Because the company was incorporated in 2021. You were already kind of working on this already. You launched in 2022. What was being done in that year before launch?
Definitely a lot of development work. It took us about 5 months to launch the first bare and bone MVP. So it started in December, building all up to around May. And then marketing efforts only started in like March, April, and we launched it in July. So a lot of work have gone into planning, building the app, making sure that it's proper, and also having early conversations with our potential clients then. Of course, spoke to 1,000 people, probably get 999 no's, and probably one fellow to say yes. So a lot of closed doors then.
What was your first deal? Do you remember?
Yeah, definitely. Looking at the first deal, we had OCBC Bank that said yes to us at the very beginning. Follow up with our Exxon, some of the local players then as well. So those are the early ones. Took a lot of convincing, definitely. We're an early player, no track record, no street cred. so thankful for them.
Yeah. Do I have this right? I'm not sure whether, I think I've seen Zeus on some cars as well. Was that you?
Yes, correct.
All right.
Correct.
So you, and it, again, I can see where the tasteful done, because it was a very subtle addition to the car. It wasn't a full side body wrap that we're very used to seeing. So I guess that's the part that's kind of the allure of using what you're doing here. Now, there are two more things that we need to get into, of course. One is you don't have a co-founder, so really a lot of concentration risk on you, as well as the fact that this isn't rocket science. So what's going to separate you from other players and take this forward? And where's the tech? And we'll get into that after a few messages. Folks, I've been speaking with Joshua Chung. He is the founder and CEO of Carching, a Malaysian advertising tech startup that's rewarding drivers by converting KM into RM through car wraps. I'm Roshan Gunnison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I'm speaking with Joshua Chung, founder and CEO of Carching, a Malaysian advertising technology startup that's rewarding drivers by converting KM into RM. Joshua, you have a really good name, I have to say. Saying Carching really kind of gets the message across that you're helping people monetize.
Carching, Carching.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as I mentioned before the break, you are right now a solo founder. Not music to the ears of many people, particularly investors, right? Because it's now, you are the single point of failure. You are the concentration risk. Why don't you have a co-founder?
I ask myself this every day.
So like, asking someone why they aren't married. Yeah.
I don't know. I should get on Tinder and look for a co-founder and exhaust all options.
That's an idea for someone out there. Tinder, yeah. But for co-founders.
I know, right? That's actually YC. YC actually did that. They have a Tinder for co-founders. So there's some for founders so they can try that. Yeah. But I actually started off alone because I thought speed was important for MVP and to test the market. And I think we are at a point where, yes, we managed to have some validation. I won't say that we're there yet. We're getting there. And like you rightly pointed out, I'm bottlenecking a lot of things. So I am currently actively looking for a co-founder. So for those who are passionate about mobility, about advertising, and about just cars, yeah, feel free to rock up my LinkedIn or something.
We'll be sure to include that. So again, if you want to join the mobility space and advertising space, Joshua at Carching is looking for a co-founder. But all jokes aside, Joshua, I guess if potential co-founders are listening, they're going to want to listen to what the potential ahead is like. Car wraps. Car wraps for advertising isn't rocket science. And we have seen players come in and go. I mean, just before offline, we were talking about, is this player still in the market? No, they just closed up very recently. So you're entering a space where there is a high rate of failure, which is not unheard of in the startup ecosystem, of course. So given that this is not rocket science, where is the tech part of all this? What is going to make this into a tech startup as opposed to just an advertising firm for cars?
Yeah, I agree that this is not rocket science, and these are the kind of businesses that I actually like. You do not need deep tech. You do not need fly rockets, reusable rockets to space just to go into this space itself. And I think that's the big moat here that I'm bringing in to build up a big moat here. A lot of the entrepreneurs, a lot of the business owners who are in this space are typical brick and mortar business mindset kind of entrepreneurs. They come in, put wraps on cars, let it drive around, that's about it. And I guess the big reason here then why the failure rate is high is because it's not enough for the clients. You're not listening to the clients enough, the brand owners, right? They want it to be data-driven. They want some tech element to it. And this is where I come in and inject tech elements into it. Mm. Like right now, we have our own mapping system in-house in our back end. Give us a longitude and latitude. We'll be able to tell you what road that is in the entire Malaysia. What's the traffic condition? And the estimated amount of impression you'll be generated per minute.
So the people who've come and gone in this space weren't listening to their clients, but you are.
Yes.
Why? Based on what you're listening to the clients, how are you then integrating the tech to provide that performance marketing that they're looking for?
Yeah. So this is also part of a little pivot that we had throughout the whole 1.5 years as well. By listening to the clients, they keep telling, like, how are we comparable to digital marketing then, right? We can track every single thing that users do. So hence, that's why we feel that this element of tech is really important. Hence, we spend a lot of time on our data to be able to even come up with different routes with different impression numbers. We collect this data with our IoT devices. But not only that, clients also say, like, hey, okay, fine, you give me impression numbers. That's the baseline of every advertising strategies.
Yeah.
What else can you give? So with copied a little bit of what Red Bull Mini Cooper did in the past. Okay. I don't know whether the listeners out there remember, there are times where Red Bull sent out Mini Coopers with a big can.
Yeah.
They park it around and do engagement on the ground. Similarly, since you wrap the cars already, we start parking it at location that matters to your target market. Mm. Let's say you're targeting uni students. We'll park it in front of a university, send promoters there and start engaging with people on the ground. And then suddenly, our solution have engagement and conversion elements as well. Something that out of home cannot provide before.
So it's not just about sticking a brand on a car. You need to add other value-added services to what you're offering here in order to make it work.
That's part a big part of listening to your clients. Mm. Yes.
So right now, the product is stickers, wraps on cars. But going forward, it's going to be more than just ad tech. What else are you looking at to power your growth? Because I can see from your deck here that last year you made about 800,000 in revenue, 2023. This year you're expecting to hit 3 million, or you're forecasting 3 million in revenue. And almost all of that from ad tech. Oh, no, all of that from ad tech, 75% from Malaysia, 25% from the Philippines. What's going to power this growth? Because that's more than 3x growth.
Yeah. So a big part of the B2B business in advertising is relationships. So at the start of last year, nobody wanted to talk to us, especially the agencies. So after a year in building some street cred, working with some of the biggest brands in Malaysia, agencies are slowly talking to us. And we feel that, of course, one-on-one knocking on doors is a slow process. It takes about 4 to 6 months to close a big client.
Mm-hmm.
A faster way would be working with agencies. And this year, this is our focus.
Who already have that network.
Yes, correct. So we are getting a lot of RFPs from agencies for different brands now, rather than working on one brand continuously for 4 months. Mm. Now we're working with 5 brands.
How many brands are you working with today? And I know you started in 2022, it was something like 6-7 brands at that point. 1.5 years later, where are you with the number of brands you're working with?
Currently, we have passed more than 20 brands now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are the ticket sizes for these kind of deals, right? Because it's a B2B business. I presume we're not talking about small ticket sizes here. What is the average ticket size?
Yeah, it ranges really. It depends on a small SME that can go for like a few thousand ringgit all the way up to 6 figures.
Obviously, you're looking for those bigger deals,
of
right?
Course.
So those six-figure deals, how much do they differ from the smaller deals, which are a few thousand ringgit, right? Because, okay, maybe the SME can pay for this particular, which is just a sticker for a certain amount of time. How much more does the bigger company that pays that six-figure deal get? How much more does it get in its deal?
You mean in terms of margins?
In terms of, not just margins, sorry, in terms of the value that they get for that bigger deal. Is it just a matter of they get the advertising for longer, or are you packaging other things into that?
So it comes in multiple multiple ways. So first is the number of cars, right? So the more cars you subscribe, the more expensive you'll get, obviously. The number of months, like you rightly pointed out. The add-ons, like if you want to do on-ground activities as well. So these are the ones that really impact the number.
So today you are at about 1.5 million in revenue since you started in the last 1.5 years. You're looking at generating 3 million this year in revenue. Which is about 3.5x growth, more or less. I'm doing math on the top of my head, and that doesn't really work a lot of the time. How are you generating revenue from this, right? Is it a what's the business model here?
So taking a step back on a business model, how does it work? Usually, we charge our client about 1,000 ringgit per car.
Okay.
For the first month, and then every month after that, 600. It starts with that price, of course, with more cars than the cheaper you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So in a 3 months contract, you can really extract about 40-45% GP from this campaign. So the goal here is to be able to distribute our product as fast as possible. So we're looking for distribution channels. So a good one would be like agencies. They have multiple clients.
Mm-hmm.
They speak to us one time. We'll be able to pitch to them, and they can sell it to 10 of their clients one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That kind of distribution power.
But you obviously have to give them a discount on the 1,000 ringgit.
Of course, yes.
Right?
And then agency fees as well.
And then they
well.
Can make their margin there.
Yeah.
Joshua, you got way more to get into. I know you're looking to raise 2 million ringgit for a seed round, as well as some of the other growth elements. I know you understand you're going to, or you're already in the Philippines, or you're going to the Philippines.
In 2 weeks' time.
In 2 weeks' time. So a lot more to get into in terms of where the growth is for this business. Folks, I've been speaking with Joshua Chung. He is the founder of Carching, a Malaysian advertising tech startup that's rewarding drivers by converting KM into RM. I'm Roshan Kanesan. You're listening to Open for Business. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kandesan, and this morning I'm speaking with Joshua Chung, founder and CEO of Carching, a Malaysian ad tech startup that's helping drivers monetize their cars by using car wrap advertising. Joshua, earlier we were talking about the business side of things. You're looking to raise 2 million ringgit for a seed round, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You're currently, last year, you made around 800,000 ringgit in revenue. You're aiming for 3 million ringgit this year. And you're looking to introduce some new verticals as well, which we'll get into as well. But for now, in order to make this business work, you have a two-sided marketplace, basically. On one side, you've got to deal with brands. You've got about 20 brands you've worked with. On the more important side is the supply side. You need drivers, you need cars, you need them to drive kilometers. You've got around 3,000 users. How many active drivers do you have on a monthly basis now?
So I would consider active drivers as the one that are able to carry advertisements, branding on your car and drive. We have about 600 plus organically on our platform with 500 more across different partners.
Are there any ways that, so aside from the B2C side of things, are you striking up B2B partnerships with people? Say the ride-hailing players out there, probably not Grab. Grab has their own advertising unit for their cars, but there are other smaller e-hailing businesses or other subscription services out there. Are you working with them in order to bring supply onto your platform?
Yeah, I would say no to Grab so soon. Who knows what will happen there? We have a lot of conversations with especially people, players who are in the rental car space. You know, they have assets ready purchase. To them is, how do I generate more cash flow? So we do have conversations with them, and anytime we can just activate those partnerships.
And a big part here is incentivizing the drivers to stay on the platform. How are you doing that? I mean, obviously you're paying them, but you know, there are other things they can be, other places they can go to. There are other things they can be monetizing their cars in other ways as well. What are you specifically doing to manage the supply side here?
I think the core of our service or our solution is really about being seamless to be able to generate income passively. So to the group of people that can do gig economy work, let's say e-hailing or even deliveries, why not add ads to it and earn passively on top of your gig work, right? And for everyday drivers like you and I, we have to drive to work every day. You don't have to even think about it. Just put ads in your car. Just turn on our app on the background and you'll start earning already. So this is the seamless experience that we're trying to sell to our users and say, hey, you don't have to move a muscle. Wraps is what we do for you. Tracking we do for you. And we'll pay you at the end of the month, every month, right? And not only that, we don't need to just say pay you. We pay you up to 500 ringgit every month being on our platform. In fact, our highest earner last year for 7 months is 3,600 ringgit.
That's pretty good for passive income. Now, the thing is, you've got to drive a certain number of kilometers a month, correct? Well, how many kilometers do I have to drive?
And we start at about 800 kilometers. Yeah.
All right. So as long as I hit the 800 kilometer mark, I qualify to get paid for the advertising, I guess. Now, I know I made the mark about Grab earlier in the sense that they probably have their own in-house. But the thing is, it's really up to the drivers where they go and get their advertising solution from, right? How they advertise, how they monetize their cars here. So if you're paying more, then you could get e-hailing drivers as well, correct?
Yes, we have about 30% of our drivers are from e-hailing.
Now, the big, the elephant in the room is the fact that other players like Grab, for example, who are already wrapping a lot of their e-hailing cars, drivers on the road with wraps. I mean, now it's the GX Bank advertising everywhere, but last time it used to be Grab Unlimited and all these other things. They've already got that ecosystem, right? And they probably have, and they have scale as well. Outside of that, media agencies, media companies who are very familiar with the advertising space, this could be a value add for them. What's stopping them from basically making you one of the other players who disappear?
So I think just based on the Grab note first, brands can happily purchase your Grab as an option. But we usually tell them like, hey, tomorrow, and to the listeners out there as well, as you go to work tomorrow, look around you and try to spot a Grab car right beside you in a traffic jam. I think it's going to be a very rare or even seldom you'll be able to see a Grab car right beside you because it's not your business model, right? E-hailing drivers do not want to get stuck in traffic with just one customer for 1 hour plus, right? So by wrapping an e-hailing car, you're actually getting quite a bit of an off-peak exposure. For us, 70% of our drivers are, like I said, everyday drivers are you and I.
Right, you're banking on traffic jams.
Yeah, I'm capitalizing on traffic jams, not banking. I'm not hoping for traffic jams, but since you're going to get stuck in traffic, why not get paid for it?
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I see the difference there. But it doesn't stop, I guess, these other players, the media companies, the media agencies, or the super apps and grabs of the world from potentially becoming acquirers in the future. We'll talk about potential exits in a little bit. So you're going to be making, you're expecting to make 3 million in revenue this year. You want to raise a 2 million ringgit seed round. What's this? And this will buy you around 2 years of runway, and where you're expecting 2026 to raise a pre-A round. What is this seed round going to be used for?
So like you rightly pointed out, I'm a solo founder. My mm-hmm. team is really small. We have like 6 of us full time. A big chunk of the money will be spent on growing the team, doubling in size, mm-hmm. getting ready to really grow the market in Malaysia, and also starting a decent foundation in Philippines. And also a big chunk of the money will be spent on brand acquisition and user acquisition. Okay. So today, what we do with new brands who are... for brands who are listening, this is also an opportunity for you. We do free trials. Like, if you want to try, let's have a discussion and see whether it fits the model. Mm-hmm. And we can throw in a few free cards for a month or two to be able to have a sense of what our product is and the capability of it. So for the first 3 brands who message me, we can talk about something. So on the
user
side...
So message you on LinkedIn, is it?
Anywhere. You can see me. I'm a public profile. You can message me on anywhere. So for the user side of things, the way we incentivize drivers to come on board is usually on referrals. Friend refer friends. These are the best form of user acquisition so far. And soon, friends can earn from friends. So if your friend were to be on a campaign, you earn for every kilometer they drive, you earn a percentage of that as well. So that requires some expenditure. But what I want to talk about is in that 2 million fund that we're raising, we really want to spend on this new product that we're developing.
This is the interesting part here. Yes. Please elaborate on these new verticals that you want to go into.
Yeah, so there are... We know that advertising is high margin, all right? But there's also going to be a ceiling at the end of the day, right? No way we can defeat digital marketing, right? So there will be some cap there. So we want to go into different verticals. In the heart of Kaching itself, we focus on what the drivers face on a day-to-day basis, your pain points. Owning a car is expensive. Negative cash flow. That's why we introduced advertising to counter that negative cash flow. In fact, we've given back 150,000 ringgit back to society already through the advertising space. But what other pain points do you face? From the moment you start your engine until you arrive at destination, the next problem you face is finding parking when you arrive your office, especially for places like Bangsa, TTDI, you know, SS2, Taipan, crazy. You cannot find parking, right? And another problem that you usually face every quarterly or every 10,000 kilometers is repairs. Most of us have no clue what's going on like behind the hood, right? And we just leave it to our mechanic.
Oh, none. Zero. I have zero clue.
And trust it, right? And next day, they'll call you, hey, Roshan, I check your car. This spoil, that spoil. The next thing you say is like, how much straight away. So these are the pain points that drivers face, and we get used to it. We brush it off and say like, this is how life is. And we are here to say that we want to change that. And a big chunk of the money will be spent on all these verticals.
So you're going to be spending, I see here, 30% on product development, 40% on building your team up, and another 30% on growth. So a nice big spread here, new verticals coming in to kind of power that growth. So it's not all going to be about ad tech. Your phase two verticals, you're expecting... revenue contribution about 5% in 2024, but it could go up to 30% of the business in time. So some of the verticals you're talking about, so helping drivers solve their pain points when it comes to their cars, right? So parking, that appeals to me greatly, but also solving things like maintenance and all, right? So I think a lot of us today, if not for car friends that we can speed dial, would be hopelessly lost and just either go to the original brand and pay the premium that comes with going to get serviced there, or we rely on friends' recommendations. But there are some services out there that are trying to, for example, Go Car Garage, it's trying to make it easier through app to kind of get servicing and a servicing platform there, maintenance platform. You can get insurance through any of the super apps today. But it's kind of all over the place, right? And then there's also Carsum that can do some of that as well. Do you see yourself becoming a centralized point for all this in the future? Because that could be quite appealing as well.
I think the heart of it again, we do not see ourselves like a super app. I think that's what you're trying to allude to. A lot of super apps out there.
How often? Super app, no?
Yeah. I don't know how often do we use the other functions, right? So we want to be very focused and focus on just at least just the three things that we can do well in. So like the ones I mentioned, ad tech, looking for parking and also car maintenance. These are the three things that we really want to focus on and do it really well to be the focal point in the market.
Now, so the other vehicles, car maintenance, parking, cross-state logistics, dashcam video feed. Talk to us about video feed and logistics.
Yeah, okay. So just for everyone's reference, Roshan is going through my pitch deck. So yeah, apart from different verticals, you want to deep dive into the ad vertical itself. Right. And there's a lot of rich data that's coming from dash cams today. These are live video recordings of road conditions and traffic conditions. And one of the things that we're doing today, I think I can share, is that we are figuring out a way to identify the types of cars that are in front of you at any point in time. And with that, you're able to tell roughly, is that an expensive car or is that an affordable car? And then from there, your impression numbers have more value to it, more weight to it. Not just roughly 10,000 people seen it, but in that 10,000, 6,000 of them drive a Mercedes.
Trying to improve the richness of the data and the performance of the marketing, essentially.
Yes, correct.
That's quite interesting. So we'll look forward to see how the products that develop, because that could take some work, I would presume. You're planning to raise 2 million in a seed round. I understand you've raised around 600,000 ringgit through angel rounds. That was predominantly spent on building the app and getting the business to where it is today?
I like how a lot of people see building the app just like a big chunk of expenses, but usually these are all headcount costs. So 600,000 of the amount plus my own money as well, altogether we spend on headcount.
So how much total funding has been spent so far on building this business?
In total, we have stopped putting money since October last year, roughly around that figure of 600,000, slightly higher. And currently we've been breaking even for the past 3 months last year. And this year, we are about to break even for the next few months. Yeah.
Now, that is a very great point, right? So 1.5 years in, you're kind of like break even, but you've also got to grow and that requires investment. But given the current investment climate, investors want to see path to profitability. So how are you going to balance this need for that clear path to profitability while still having to grow this business, given that you're in a pre-seed to seed round right now?
I think all this boils down to how earlier what you mentioned, that this business is not new and it's not rocket science. It doesn't require, it's not capex heavy, right? So path to profitability is really clear. This year, we will definitely be profitable. And it's not something that we'll need to spend a lot to reach to that to get to that destination. In fact, at this current trajectory, we'll be able to reach there already. So to convince investors to say that, hey, invest in us so that we can be profitable, that's not the story here. The story is here, invest in us, we're going to get a bigger piece of the pie.
Earlier when we were talking about the ticket size for brand deals and how that could look like, you mentioned a 45% GP, so I presume that it's a 45% gross profit margin. Is that a reflection of the margins for the entire business or just for per deal kind of basis?
Yeah, I would say roughly on average a blend that would be around the 30 to 40% range.
All right. Joshua, we have covered a lot of ground here in very quick succession. Really, thank you for the pitch deck. It's been really quite fun looking at my notes and looking at the pitch deck at the same time. Made for a very engaging conversation. As we look ahead and come to the closing of this conversation, in the midterm, what are the five key goals that you are focused on in the next 5 years? What are the key goals you're focused on in the next 5 years?
Yeah. All right. In the next 5 years, I think it's very important to build a strong team that can operate like a typical corporate. We have to aspire towards that without forgetting the DNA of a startup. We can be very messy at the start, bang walls, you know, break things. There will be a time where that has to be a yesterday's news. So a big focus will be on building a strong team. And also number two is building the verticals that I really am passionate in as well, like the two other things that I mentioned. So in the next 5 years, you will see Kaching a whole different entity. We will have a different verticals. We'll be in different geographical locations as well. So these two things, growth within the business and growth within the team will be the next focus.
And geographies, currently Malaysia, Philippines in 2 weeks,
and then
Indonesia after that.
We'll see.
And to wrap up the conversation, give us a sense for the most likely kind of exit you see for this business, right? Because earlier I mentioned one of the super apps like Grab could look at this business as a great way to add value to what they're currently doing. Marketing agencies, media businesses out there with an appetite for inorganic growth could also look at this to add value to their offerings. What are you positioning yourself in terms of exits? How are you positioning yourself?
The best way for startups to figure that out is to see peers around the world. Mm. And you've seen, in this space alone, there are quite a few companies out there, especially in the US and the UK. They have been sold to different companies, mm-hmm. especially in the same space, like you mentioned. And there are some of them that is currently still raising in different kind of series. So for us, we aspire to just keep our heads low, do as well as we can. And if, let's say, you know, like you said, mentioned like Grab and other media players are keen to have a chat, I'm all ears.
Joshua, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Roshan.
Folks, I've been speaking with Joshua Chung. He is the founder and CEO of Kaching, a Malaysian advertising tech company that's rewarding drivers by converting KM into RM while helping brands get more reach for their and value for their businesses. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just look for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanis, and you've been listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the Business Station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.